He had supposed to be up at the head of the column, but had hung back so he could watch the fireworks. He was the only one of us who did not have the sense to be frightened, because he was not up where he belonged. All progress had come to a halt above us. He wore a hand-dog look as he approached. He expected to be chastised, and he would be later.
"Hold up the key."
"But won't that..."
"The company isn't a debating club, Tobo. Show her the key. Today..." He hoisted the key overhead angrily. The morning sunlight blazed off the golden pick. Soulcatcher did not show much excitement. But I had not meant the demonstration for her benefit, really. I wanted Narayan Singh to know what he had let slip through his fingers. It was the key, of course, but it was also some ancient and holy relic of Kina's strangler cult. In their glory days, every Deceiver Company priest had carried a replica. I muttered,
"You win some, you lose some, Narayan. In the excitement, you got the girl back. But I've got this, and I can carry it. You've got the Daughter of Night, and you can take her anywhere you want to, if you can carry her and her cage."
Goblin and One-Eye had crafted a masterpiece of wicked sorcery. She could not even escape by destroying the cage. Whatever happened to it would happen to her. I was not pleased about having to leave the cage behind, but the Shadow Gate had been decidedly stubborn in resisting its passage. That could have been overcome by sheer muscle power, but I had not been able to get enough men onto it fast enough to force it through before the fireballs started flying.
"Good luck, baby darkness, dragging all that iron around whilst you pursue your wickedness."
I hoped Singh had left the Book of the Dead hidden on the other side of the Danda Presh, so it would be a long time before the girl and it embraced one another. Long enough for me to get where I wanted to go and accomplish what I wanted to accomplish.
"That's good, Tobo. Now get back up front and get this mob moving. Swan, tell me about the camping circles. And give me your best guess about how soon we're likely to run into trouble because of breaks in the protection of the road."
"I don't remember them ever being more than a few hours apart. And although we used them as camping places, I think that they were actually crossroads. That's easier to tell at night."
Ominously, he added,
"You'll see. Everything is different at night."
I did not like the sound of that. I was still in the rear guard and only halfway to the crest when Soulcatcher found out what had happened to her flying carpet. The sound of her anger reached us despite the dampening effect of whatever barrier stood between us and the rest of the world. The earth shivered at the same time. Uncle Doge was not far away, standing at the edge of the road, watching for evidence of his success. I said, "She seems displeased with the prospect of having to walk home." My friend the horse stood behind me, looking over my shoulder. It made a sound that could have passed for a snicker if it had not been a horse making it. Doge indulged in a rare smile. He was thoroughly pleased with himself. Willow Swan asked me,
"What did you do now?"
"Not me. Doge. He totally obliterated her means of transport. She's on her own two hooves now. She's 100 miles from her only friend, and goblins already fixed up one of her feet so she can't run or dance.